This fifth article introduces us to what most people think is the immune system, but I've rather cheekily called our immune bureaucracy, for reasons that you might see later, and have ranked it in lower down the order, again for reasons that will become clear. The adaptive, acquired or specific immune system we're talking about here is much more sophisticated than the innate system we talked about in Article 2. It's evolved more, it's found only in vertebrates, for example, in the animal kingdom. And one idea that is referred to is that it may have evolved, very interestingly, as part of a management system to accommodate the more diverse microbiome that we have in higher animals. In other words, that it has an integrative role with the management of our microbiome. But we'll come back to that in other posts later. There are two main types of white blood cells that we all call lymphocytes, and these are the B and the T cells. And there's quite a bit of detail in this even brief article, and I'm not going to read it all out again. So have a read and see what you make of it. But here are the highlights. The B and T cells are responsible for mounting, if you like, a tailored response or a personalized response to individual foreign substances, which in this context we call antigens. They need to be trained. So unlike the innate system we saw earlier, they don't just work immediately. They need time to build up this response. And so the hope is that when they first encounter a threat, it's in low enough doses for them to build up this capacity so that they can meet it when it comes in for the in a big time. And this is the base, the principle of vaccination. The vaccination is introducing the acquired, the adaptive immune system to a threat before it becomes dangerous. This training creates what we call memory cells, which hold that information for a long time afterwards and can mobilize quickly if that threat comes. So B cells produce what we call antibodies. They're technically immunoglobulins, and the main one is immunoglobulin or IgG, and then we have IgA, IgD, IgM, and IgE, which we're going to come to much more when we look at allergies. These are different types of antibodies that do different jobs in different situations. They all work essentially by identifying the threat and putting a flag on it, so to speak, so that it can be gobbled up by the innate immune system or by the T cells that we'll talk about in a minute. There's a couple of processes involved in this which are in the text. One of the interesting ones is the last of the processes called complement cascade, and that involves the release of what might almost be called the nuclear option. These chemicals are very powerful indeed. They're incidentally the principle of cobra venom, and their job is to just wreck everything. So it just shows how vital to our interior the immune system considers, you know, the work that the immune system does. It will even destroy local tissues in the interest of getting rid of foreign material. And complement cascade is actually one of the main causes of some of the dangerous consequences of inflammation and immunological disease. Those are produced as part of these B cell responses. T cells are more cell to cell in their action. They are primed by B cells in most cases. So B cells will put the flag on the problem so the T cells can come and gobble it up. They're a bit like the innate system in that sense, but they are more targeted in their responses, and they have a capacity of breaking down our own cells, for example, if they are infected by viruses. Again, the flag is put up on those cells and the T cells come in and attack. T cells are self-regulated so that they don't go run amok, and so we have helper cells on one hand to give them a hand, but we also have regulatory T cells to hold them back. One of the key things about these both these cells is that they produce a particularly powerful range of pro-inflammatory cytokines, the interleukins, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and interferons, for example, that are, again, like complement, potentially very damaging. Their main job is to raise awareness that there's a problem going on, so they feel sore and you feel swollen and you feel sick, and that all helps to put your focus on the trouble. But it can lead to consequences. I give the example of the effect, for example, of long-term gum disease, periodontitis. The consequences of these cytokines is that they gradually wear down the bone. And another really important consequence that we saw recently of these cytokines is that if they're really provoked, they can cause a cytokine storm. And we saw this notably in the early stages of COVID, when most of the deaths and damage was done by the, if you like, overaction of the immune system. I remember the time we were telling everybody, please don't talk about boosting your immunity during COVID, because the immune system was actually doing all the damage. And we need to remember that when we casually talk about boosting immunity. The immune system, particularly this adaptive immune system, really does have two sides to it. And it's one of the reasons why it's a more dangerous area for us to be working in. It's very hard indeed for the herbal plant natural therapy world to affect. That it has its own program, so to speak. And as we'll see in the final post in this first introductory series, our job, we think, is to keep the immune defenses away from this level of response.